Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All Things Covered listeners and viewers, as you guys know, we're what, literally 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, a very, very important time when it comes to being a football fan, when it comes to being part of an organization, and when it comes to these prospects that will hear their names called in the end of April. And with that being said, if you guys have been following our show, you know we like to highlight up-and-coming prospects, guys that you will eventually become a big-time fan of when it comes to watching the NFL. This is the show for you. If you're a fan of SEC football, this is the show for you. If you're a fan of elite-level cornerback play, this is the show for you. Our guest, he is a 2022 NFL draft prospect out of Auburn, first team All-American, first team All-SEC in 2021. No other than outstanding high elite level player, cornerback Roger McCreary is joining us here. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden, All Things Covered. First and foremost, Roger, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. It's just great just to be here, just be in this position. Oh, man, everything's just great. I'm just happy just to ride the wave and just see how everything go.
No question. We're excited to be a part of that process, to watch you ride this wave. But before you got an opportunity to ride the wave, let's take it back to the beginning. Coming out of high school, out of Mobile, you were a three-star recruit with various offers. But what sold you to Auburn?
Coming out of high school, my recruiting process, it wasn't really that big. It wasn't a hard decision to go to Auburn because I always wanted to compete at the highest level on SEC. And Auburn was the only school to give me that offer because at first I was committed to South Alabama, but I decommitted because Coach S changed and everything. So after my senior season, Auburn, they would visit me a lot, but they never offered me. And at the end of it, they finally did. And I always wanted to beat Bama anyway and compete at the best. And that was easy answer right there to me. Just go with Auburn, and that's where I stuck with it.
Wait a minute. So in high school, you had hate for Alabama before you became a Tiger?
Oh yeah, yes sir.
Where did that come from?
In my process, the reason why I had to chip my shoulder because they didn't give me an offer. That was it right there. Coming up, like I'm not gonna lie, coming up, I was a huge Bama fan. Like I used to love Julio Jones, all that, but When I finally started visiting them, and Bama came, they gave me preferred walk-on. So that was the chip on my shoulder right there. Like, oh, no, like, you can't disrespect me like that. So right there, I went to play at Auburn to play just against them. And that was just a dream. Every time I played against them, I just want to give my best.
Man, and talking about that rivalry, you kind of led me to that question when it comes to the Iron Bowl. Describe the Iron Bowl, what it's like, you know, from a player perspective, because us as fans, we know it's one of the more historical rivalries in college football. But for you being a part of the game, being an in-state product from Alabama and growing up liking Alabama, but of course having that hate because they didn't offer you, give us your player perspective of the Iron Bowl.
Growing up, like if you live in Alabama, it's either you like Auburn or Alabama. So everybody loved that game. And that's just one of the biggest game ever. And, like, finally, when I committed to Auburn and finally get to play in it, it's just different. I'm not going to lie. Just the whole atmosphere, that whole week, the whole week intense, everything about it, everybody uptight because we don't even say Alabama. We say school upstate. That's how much the rivalry is. It's so much history into it. We just got to respect our people like who've been in this game before. It's just, like, the hate for the other school. But in the game, just the atmosphere, the crowd, everything about it, just electric, like the best game I ever played in. For all my 4 years, it's been great. It's been no downfalls, no nothing, no low energy, just high expectations, just trying to crush that team every game.
Okay, I didn't know that. School upstate. Okay, nice to know. Nice to know, Roger. So you, in your 4 years, you went 1-3 versus Alabama, but that victory, That lone victory happened in 2019, and that was a special, special game. Of course, every Iron Bowl is a special game. But for you guys, that was special because, number one, you won. If I'm not mistaken, you knocked Alabama out of national championship contention with that win. But how special was that game and that day for you and the team?
That game, that was my first start in that game. My first Iron Bowl start right there. Yeah. So big on, we was just going back to back, like, that game, like watching that game in person, actually being in it, the crowd, the stands, everything, scoring back to back. Like, the game was 45-48. So it was going back to back. It was amazing stuff, like historic stuff. Like, one of my teammates scored a 100-yard interception. And that's just like the stands, everything. It was just crazy. And I will always remember that game.
Yeah. And that same year in 2019, I mean, if you look at the SEC play, especially in the West, there were some high-power offenses, high-power wide receivers. And let's focus on one of your matchups in 2019 versus LSU. You lost by 3 points. And if you go back and look at that story year for LSU, you guys played them the toughest. I mean, you took them down to the wire. Ended up losing by 3 points. But that game was, it was a close game. But what do you remember the most about that matchup? Number one, going against the Heisman winner in Joe Burrow, who's playing having an outstanding career so far in the National Football League. And then you look at the wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. Tell us a little bit about that matchup.
Going into that game, that was my first career start in college football. So I was
That was your first start against LSU?
That was my first start, going against Ja'Marr Chase the whole time. So, like, going into that game, my mindset was not to let my brothers down and everything. And then Kevin Steele, he came with a good defensive strategy. So I feel like we was great. We had great D linemen, Derrick Brown. So the pressure was there always. But that game there, going against Ja'Marr Chase, that's when I gave him my confidence. That was some plays when he caught the ball on me. But that was some plays that a lot of people ain't see that I really did good. And he didn't score on me. So that kind of, like, gave my confidence. And getting the interception for Joe Burrow, too.
You picked up Joe?
Yes, sir. I did.
Okay. Well, describe the route and describe the play. What was the play called defensively for you guys, and what route did you get, and what receiver did you pick off?
I know exactly, but I remember I was in bracket. Inside here from the safety, me and the safety doing bracket. But before that drive, though, Ja'Marr Chase had called a 9 route on me. He caught it on me. Yep. He almost moved, but I stopped him. So I went to the sideline. They like, you good? I'm hard on myself. Then coach told him, go right back out there. This is a crucial game situation. He said, next drive, go back out there. We good. Next time they tried me again. And that's when I caught the interception from the 9 ball, but he tried to throw back shoulder. Mm-hmm. And they didn't try to throw the ball at me. So I feel like that was great for me in the future because I started picking up week by week.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing I can say about you watching you, covering the SEC, of course, CBS and the relationship with the SEC and watching and being a fan of your game, you have been battle tested. I mean, your first start in 2019 came against the champions in LSU, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. You look at some of the other elite wide receivers you played against throughout your collegiate career, you've been battle tested. Now, when you look at the guys from LSU and then your time at Auburn playing against the guys from Alabama, who would you say was the best group of receivers you faced? And some of the names we can throw out, you just mentioned Chase, you just mentioned Jefferson, you look at Devontae, you look at Waddle, Ruggs. And this past year, you also played against Dotson, right, from Penn State, the whiteout game where you guys had the white face mask, by the way. I think Auburn should wear the white face mask all the time. Forget the blue face masks and the orange. That white face mask, the white helmet, was fire. And that's, you got Traylon Brooks from Arkansas. Now, when you look at those list of wide receivers, Roger, I mean, give me your top three out of all the guys you faced in your collegiate career.
First, I would say what the toughest matchup was, I would say John Metchie. That was the tense one right there. And I would say Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith.
I like it. I like Metchie. Metchie is not an underrated wide receiver, but that guy can go.
That was my first time actually sticking him, and just that whole game. Yeah, it was just intense. That's the reason I said it was him.
Are you a trash talker?
Nah, no, sir.
And any of those guys talk trash to you?
And I was. I had to. That was my last game. I had to talk trash to him.
Okay. A different Roger showed up in your last Iron Bowl, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I talk trash sometimes. It depends on the game.
And speaking of John Metchie, this year in the Iron Bowl, you had an outstanding game. You had four PBUs, played high-level football, was playing against Jameson Williams until he got ejected. How good is Jameson?
Oh, Jameson, I say he's a great player. Going into that game, that was my main target. Coaching them wanted me to stick Jameson.
You were following him, right?
Yeah, the beginning of the game, because he controls the offense. I say he's like the deep threat, the guys who can make plays. He's a playmaker. So going to that game, I know it wasn't going to be easy.
How fast is he? Because when I watched him this past year, when I looked at Waddle, Ruggs, Devontae, some of the other fast guys, even your former teammate, Schwartz, who plays with the Browns. Man, how fast is Jameson when you compare some of the other elite high-speed guys you faced?
I would say Jameson up there well, and Anthony Schwartz. That I would say he behind Anthony Schwartz. Anthony Schwartz, that's a whole different level right there. I'm not going to lie. I went against him every day at practice. I see him in person. But, yeah. Jameson right there behind him, though.
And when you look at this this process for you, Roger, draft experts, draft analysts, they believe you're an aggressive style of corner, you know. But where did that style come from? You've always been an aggressive player, especially playing one-on-one on the outside against wide receivers.
I guess, yes, sir. That came from the beginning when I first started playing corner. I mean, you got to be aggressive to play a corner, especially my favorite thing to do is press. I don't let no guy get room and stuff. I like to get right in his face. So I feel like you're playing corner, a press corner, you got to have that dog in you, that dog mentality to be aggressive, to get right in their face, don't let them go nowhere. So that'd be my mentality every play.
And talking about press, you know, watching you, your first few years at Auburn, you played a lot of press man. You was always up in the face of wide receivers. And then in come a new staff, new regime, new defensive staff. They kind of implement more zone concepts where you're playing off, playing with your eyes a little bit. What do you bring to the table in both techniques? And how big do you think that experience will be in helping your transition to the NFL?
First, I would say it was just great. Just getting that that coaching status just from like playing cover three, cover two, different zones and everything, playing off man with Derek Mason. So I feel like overall I'm a great corner from press to zone to everything. But just playing zone, I say like my strength is I can react quick. I'm quick. I can change direction fast. Once I see something happen, I'm on it fast. Cause you can see more when you're off or you in zone and everything. And just press that's just day one of me. That's just something that I just do easily. I love that. So I feel like going to the next level, two of my defense coordinators, they really helped me improve a lot. And I feel like I'm one of the best corners in this draft class that's ready for the next level. And I'm most comfortable with that.
And listening to a lot of your interviews so far throughout this process, eye discipline is a phrase you've used a lot. What does that term mean to you?
Eye discipline, that's one of the things I said I had to work on the most, because my last game against John Metchie, he did a whip route on me. And I know what was the
breakdown. Breakdown on whip route. A lot of our listeners and viewers might not know exactly what a whip route is.
Whip route is when like he stutter, make a little stutter move, break off inside like a slant, then break it off with a level out route, basically. But it's stuff like that. When he break inside, I will have him at that moment. So I will look in at the quarterback. That's why I'd be like, my eye discipline be wrong. Then once I look at the quarterback, that's when he break the slant out. So that's the reason why I say my eye discipline, because that was the only time when I got scolded on is the season was that raw. And it was all because of my eye discipline.
Yeah. And how would you describe the mental part of playing cornerback to someone who never really played the game of corner, watch a lot of football, but they don't know exactly the ins and outs that goes into being a pretty good, consistent cornerback. How would you describe the mental part?
On the mental part, I say that's the toughest position at it, I would say, because there's plays you know you can't make, and there's some plays you're going to do great. Like, if you get scored on, you got to go to the next play, because it's all mentally, because you can't let that play affect you throughout the whole game. So it's all mentally just being there and helping your teammates. And another thing is, when you think you're doing great, you can have a lot of plays. You can do good, like 50 snaps and everything. And that one play a lot of people can judge you off that one bad play. So that's another thing, how people gonna come at you hard saying, oh, you didn't do good, it's all that, blah, blah, blah. But you can't let that get to you. That's why it's all mentally, because they're gonna always remember that one bad play and not the other good plays. So that, with playing cornerback, I say that you gotta have a strong mind and just play the next play and always be confident in yourself that you're just a great player. And that's just my mindset right there. I'm on to the next play. I'm gonna compete every time.
Well, we're going to do a little hypothetical right quick, because I love breaking down the ins and outs of the game of football within itself, especially for a lot of our viewers and fans who've never been in a huddle. I'm Coach McFadden. I coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm interviewing you, Roger. Came down to your pro day. I want to sit and talk to you. All right, let's go back to the Iron Bowl. I see you had 4 PBUs against Alabama. What was one rule that you learned the week of getting ready for Alabama when it came to scouting their offense, that you knew exactly, based on formation or based on alignment from the wide receivers, you knew exactly what route combinations you were going to get, and that put you in position to be successful and probably coming up with one of these PBUs. So what was a great scouting tip you had getting ready for this for Alabama in this past year's Iron Bowl?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That was just one main formation that they always use. It's a 3-by-1. Mitchie, he would be in a boundary depending on his split. It would be tight sometimes. And Jameson will always be at the 3. It could be a bunch or it can be a split 3-by-1.
So Jameson would be the inside? He would be the inside third receiver?
Yes, sir. And Mitchie would be and the 1 receiver to the boundary.
Number 1.
Yeah. So basically that's something that it's high alert. It depends on Jameson because he always the deep threat of Bama. So when that happened, they always do a lot of deep balls, deep posts, deep overalls. So Mitch and Jameson, they basically do deep overalls every time. It always happens. Like, a lot of people never noticed that. Or Mitchie would do a 15-yard hitch. If he push up vertical straight, he dropping that 15 yards. If Jameson stem hard inside, he going to either do a deep overall or he going to fake it and to go do a corner route. So it's basically off they reading off your alignment and everything. So with that, that's one thing we always noticed. And another thing, a guy, like when – with Mitchie, the 2 receiver, and he's on the ball and the 1 is off, and they pass the logo, they do a lot of big shots. They do shots, like 9 routes, 9 balls. They just throw fades, and that's one of the players I had recognized before it even happened. So that was something I always knew before it even happened. So I feel like going into that game, I had prepared a lot for it, and I feel like it came out great.
Okay, I like it. Just understand, the way you prepared on Saturdays, it's times 3, because some of the offenses that you will see in the National Football League, the team can be sorry, can be piss poor, but the preparation still needs to be on a high, consistent flow for you to be in positions to be successful. Most people who watch the game of football, they all think it's mostly athletics that put you in position. No question, you got to be fast, you got to be quick. But up here, when you're able to recognize what's going to happen before it actually happens, that's when you start to take off. So that's well said. I like it. So we're going to see what the Steelers are going to do, because like I said, I just was playing as Coach McFadden for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's see. So now let's get ready for this draft process. Let's go through the pre-draft process. You had an opportunity to play in the Senior Bowl. I played in the Senior Bowl some few years back. I got my Senior Bowl jersey over there, by the way. Russell, we had Russell jerseys. I don't know what you guys wearing now for Senior Bowl. We had Russell. But, you know, being from the city of Mobile, they recognized February 4th, 2022 as Roger McCreary's day. How special was it to be part of the Senior Bowl in your hometown?
It was just great, especially that day on Roger McCreary Day. It was great because somebody I had looked up to was Deshaun Davis. He had that day too at his school. He got invited. So it was just great actually seeing him. And I never thought that it would ever happen to me. So I feel like that was inspiration. Like, he pushed me dry from my freshman year. So finally getting invited to the Senior Bowl, a game that you grew up watching since you was a little kid, going to their practice, asking for their gloves and everything. It was just great. And just finally being in there, it was, everything was just great. And behind the scenes, it's a little mental, like, you got to be mentally strong for that, though, because you have meetings, you mean coaches and everything. That's something they never told me about. But just from, like, the part where everybody see it, it's just great practicing there, being with the other 3 Mobile guys from there. And just actually playing in that game at South Alabama and Mobile, everything about it was just great. It was just a childhood dream.
Man, that's so special. You got your own day. So every year, February 4th in Mobile, is Roger McCreary's day.
Yes, sir. And that always makes me smile every time I think about it. Just wait till next year. When that day comes, I'm going to make a scene.
Oh, no question, man. That's legendary. You will forever be remembered. Think about that in Mobile. So make sure you make everyone from Mobile proud of your next steps in your professional career on and off the football field. Now, getting ready for the draft. I mean, if you're watching, you know, CBS, if you're watching CBS Sports or you're online, you look at the draft process. There are two corners that everyone is talking about when it comes to Sauce Gardner and Derek Stingley Jr. that get mentioned as the best in the class, right? But why do you believe you belong in that conversation with those guys?
What you said earlier, you said all the receiver guys that I had went up against. There was a lot of guys that I had went up against. I would say me in this draft class, nobody never went against the receivers that I had went against. I had played against the best receiver from week in to week out. I'm going against them every time, and I did great. I'm 100% confident about that. But just me, just the player that I'm with, just the player that I am, I'm a tough guy. A lot of people talk about my measurements and everything, but still like that don't mean nothing to me because I compete against the best and I did great. I'm just a corner who's physical, who's smart, and I can know what happened. I can tackle. I'm smart. I'm a player of the game. Everything about it is just great with me, I would say. Going to the next level, I'm just confident that I'm going to do great and I'm going to be the best out of this whole cornerback, I would say.
Pat P is joining us now with this candid conversation with Auburn Tiger corner, Roger McCrary. Before we continue this conversation, I mean, both of you guys represent the Tigers, right?
Go Tiger.
Yeah, real yeah. Which is the real Tiger?
War Eagle.
They don't even know. They holler War Eagle and...
Good point, Pat P. They got two mascots. They got an eagle and a tiger. Which one is which?
Deidre, I really don't know either, but I'll say that's the thing I always ask, but we really did talk. Like, we have a tiger mascot though.
Hey, Pat P, what was your record against Auburn when you were at LSU?
What'd you say, Matt?
What was your record against Auburn when you was at LSU?
I lost against Auburn one time, man. One time, Cam Newton, the Heisman, the year Auburn won the Natty.
Okay, so you were 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1 against Auburn. I was the first team to beat. We were 2008 was the first team to beat Auburn since the Bonfire, and LSU first team to beat Auburn, in Auburn since the Bonfire because we haven't won there I believe it was like 7 straight years.
Yeah,
going to the stadium. And we was the first team to win there since that happened.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Hey, but Roger, well, man, enough about the real Tigers. what would it mean to you to be a first round draft pick in that? And what's your expectation at this point leading into the draft?
It would be great to be a first round draft pick. It's not something that I really think like much about. I would just be happy to just be drafted because not a lot of people get drafted. But being drafted in the first round, it would be great to finally let people know that I'm really am a great player and I would prove a lot of people wrong. I'm going into the next level. I just need that one phone call. And going into it, I just want to start right away. I just want to hit the team no matter what. That's going to be my mindset going into it.
Yeah. Well, going into draft, like what's some of the things you can tell a team what they will be getting from Roger. Obviously, we see a lot of stuff on tape, but what are some things that may not pop up on tape that teams may not have seen from you?
A lot of people would just say I'm just a man corner, but I feel like I'm an overall great corner. I could play zone. That's a lot that I feel like a lot of people didn't see, but I'm really great at it because I really see the field and I'm really like a player of the game. I like recognize plays before it happened. So I feel like I would show a lot of people that cover two, just disguising a lot of stuff besides just man and everything. And I feel like that's a big thing.
And talking about some of the teams, we've heard that you recently visited the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Tennessee Titans. Tell us a little bit about that process and what type of vibe did you receive from both teams?
It was just great. On my first visit, it was Tampa. It was just going in and out, talking to the coaches and everything. They just wanted me just catch a vibe around now, talking to everybody. I had met two of my other Auburn teammate Tigers, Jamel Deem and KJ Britt. So yep. I feel like Tampa, like they really loved our Auburn guys, and it would be great coming in with them guys to help me and being under their wings and everything. And Tennessee Titan, that was another great place I was at. The coaches, they had great personalities. I just liked everybody there. Like, everything was really great just going into it. And they just told me how everything would be, how everything would go. And I really liked what they said.
Hey, Raj, I want to know if there's any truth to this story about you eating baked beans and sugar before a football game. Two-part question. And will that continue on Sundays?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That's a soft thing right there. Before every game. I mean, my freshman year, there was no beans there. So I kept asking people, like, where the beans at? So I guess I kept getting on their nerves. And sophomore year, they found, like, made beans for the pregame. And I always ate a full plate, like, 8 packs of sugar. Just pour just number beans and sugar. And they'll be home and talking about, I might have gas and stuff. Like, I really don't have gas. I'm so used to it now. So I just be tanning up. And y'all going good. That's why I asked on Tampa and on Times, like, y'all going to have baked beans and everything? They're like, you going to go and get your own stuff. So I'm going to change that, though. No matter the team I go to, I got to change. I got to have some beans down.
If it ain't broke, why fix it?
Hold on. Huh? Wait a minute.
If it
hold on.
Broke, why fix it?
I hear you, Pat. I hear you, Pat. Wait a minute. You eat a plate, Johnson, a plate full of baked beans?
Full plate.
Before you going out to the cover, the Devontae Smiths of the world and the Jamar Chases, you eating the whole plate of baked beans. That's it, and sugar.
Yeah,
man. Chad Johnson eat artificial beef, man. Every day.
Pat P. Listen, all of us have been to a barbecue. All of us has partake. And eating baked beans. Right. Them baked beans sit heavy in the stomach, bro.
I mean,
obviously, Roger, hey, his digestive system is hit a little different than ours, man. The beans sit right with him.
Man, I eat a half a plate. Give me 2 spoonfuls of baked beans. I'm sitting down on somebody's toilet.
Roger, I got a question. So, who making these baked beans? The team making these baked beans? Are they putting mustard, ketchup, barbecue sauce? Like, what's the ingredients going into these baked mustard. Beans? Like, just mustard?
Nobody put no mustard on baked beans, Pat? You talk about, you got to give me some barbecue sauce and a little sugar, brown sugar.
No, I'm asking for the ingredients.
Okay.
Tell you the truth, I really don't know what they put into it because it'd be nasty at first. So, like, my ingredient is butter and sugar, but like I don't have butter there. So at that moment, I could turn anybody nasty baked beans good just by putting sugar in it.
Okay.
What you drinking with this? What kind of beverage you got?
It don't matter.
A Sprite.
Nah, it don't matter. Probably just Gatorade or water or something. It don't matter.
Man, I'm all the way through.
Them beans, man.
Pat P, man, I'm trying to be light as possible. Them boys out there moving fast. I don't need nothing to try to hold me down. You know, it's a mind thing, too. If you eat too much, the first thing you're going to say, man, I'm going to be slow.
Yes, sir.
Hey, the first false step you're going to take, you'll be like, man, I ate too much doing pregame warm-up, doing pregame beer.
Stomach just coming over the belt line just a little bit.
Hey, you feel that, man? I ate too much doing pregame meal, man. The first time you take a false step and that boy get a step on you, man, oh boy, it might be a long day. Hey, Roger, you got any other rituals that you partake in before games outside of eating a whole plate of baked beans and sugar?
Nah, that's thing for real.
Well, like, in the words of Pat P, if it's not broke, do not try to fix it. Well, whoever drafts you, make sure you have your plate of baked beans because it ain't slow you down to this point. So I can tell you this much. By the time you hit year 10, Pat P, I wanted to be still eating baked beans then.
He definitely changed that pregame ritual around. Not even year 10. I probably say year 5.
Year 5, them baked beans won't be there no more?
Yeah. Y'all going to be surprised.
Hey, year 5, we're going to see if you still eat them baked beans when you got them little beeps out there in front of you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, last question for you, Roger. What are your plans for draft night in a few weeks? Draft is literally 3 weeks away. Do you have any plans, you and your agent, you and your family, you guys thinking about the process? I don't think they have given the invite yet who will be there in person in Vegas, but what are your plans initially?
My plans is to stay home in Mobile no matter if I get the invite. I just want to stay here in my city and be here with my support system. They're the reason why I made it this far, so I want to celebrate that moment with them.
That's dope. Hey, Pat P, man, before we let Roger go, man, you're a future Hall of Famer. I mean, any words of encouragement that you can give Roger when it comes to advice, ways of being the best pro he can potentially be? What advice you have for Roger?
Man, honestly, it's real simple, man. Stay true to yourself. You know, try to find a way to build a routine and stay true to that routine, you know, and don't let anything break you out of that routine. You know what I mean? And just always work at your craft every year, no matter how good you feel that you have been the previous year, always work at your craft, because at the end of the day, the guys you're going to be going up against next year, they're watching you as you should be watching them as well. So they're trying to get, you know, the next step on you. So you have to find ways to always evolve with the game and evolve your game to tailor, you know, to the best of you, so you can go out there and dominate on Sundays. But you know, it's not real scientific or, you know, really, you know, hard. You know, the biggest thing is just staying true to yourself and really understand, you know, the position that you're in, and don't really take it for granted. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing, man. Just really be blessed that the position that you're in, you know, listen to every older guy that you're around, and be coachable. You know, you don't want to be a guy that's not coachable and think he knows everything, you know. And those are just a couple, you know, things I can share with you that I believe that'll help you have not only a long career, but a successful career as well, because those are some of the things that, you know, I was able to do to, you know, help me capture some of the achievements that I achieved in my career. So I wish you the best of luck. And I hope you go high as you want to. You know, everybody that have dreams of going first round, but as long as you get in there, man, as long as you get in there, you have an opportunity to go out and showcase your talent. So don't be bummed if you don't go first round.
No question.
Lord knows that you will be, you know, on the playing grounds that you fulfilled and saw yourself, you know, your whole childhood life and going throughout college. So, you know, make the best of the opportunity that's in front of you. You know, you just can't worry about, you know, the next man or I was better than this guy and things like that. Just make the best of your opportunity and go from there.
No question. Also, to remember, the situation is more important than the draft position. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You want to get drafted high, but most importantly, you want to go into a good situation so you can be the best player that you can be. And there lies the opportunity to create longevity for yourself. Mm-hmm. And one thing Pat mentioned, there's no off season, especially for defensive backs. You got to be in the best shape of your life every year. Pat talks about this all the time. We see wide receivers come in and out of the game, right, Roger? But you don't see DBs going in and out. They be bringing in them fresh legs just to run you deep on a screen route. And then the main guy come back and now he's trying to route you up after you just ran a full gasser covering the screen route that went deep. So just understand there's no off season.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, hey, Roger, man, thank you for joining us here. All Things Covered, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden. We wish nothing but success for you in this process. Enjoy the process. Appreciate it. Embrace it. And understand you're about to become one of very few to ever hear their name called in the National Football League's NFL draft. So enjoy it. Be safe and keep grinding. And do me one favor. I know we said earlier in the show, I asked you a question about you really don't talk too much trash, but that Iron Bowl Roger that I saw this past December, November, bring that Iron Bowl Roger out every Sunday. Pat P, he was out there yapping. It was personal for him. It was really like personal. He got a chip on his shoulder when he played against Alabama. But bring that November Iron Bowl Roger out every Sunday. And if you do that, look out.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, be safe, man. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.